Well, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We'll continue our study. We look at the Sermon on the Mount, as it's referred to, chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus' sermon, specifically the Beatitudes in the section we're covering now. We're almost finished, the Beatitudes. Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word? Starting in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you again for allowing us to be together. What a joy it is to fellowship with like-minded believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we thank you for a place that we can come worship you, fellowship, and Father, study your word. You have blessed us immensely, and we're grateful for it. We thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy and your kindness and your grace towards us. Father, this morning I pray that you'll continue to teach us and grow us. Open our eyes and our ears to your word, your message, regardless of the messenger, Father, in spite of the messenger. May your Holy Spirit convict us. Let me strive to be more like Christ. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You may have a seat. July 19th, 1814. July 19th, 1814, Hartford, Connecticut. There was a wealthy man, owner of a textile company, who had a son on July 19th, 1814, named him Sam. Sam grew up. At the age of 16, Sam was having some disciplinary issues. Go figure, right? So his wealthy father decided to put Sam on a ship. Not as a passenger, not a cruise ship. A cargo ship headed to India and to the Orient for a year journey as a laborer, a crew hand, a deck hand on the ship at age 16 in 1830. So Sam gets on the boat. Somewhere during that year, his voyage to India and the Orient, Sam has an idea. Comes up with an idea that will eventually change the world. Sam invents a gun, a special kind of gun with a revolving chamber. And for the first time, as he gets back to the States and he develops and patents and manufactures this gun, for the first time now, he changed the handgun from a single-shot instrument to a multi-shot machine. The inventor, Samuel Colt. Colt 45, you've heard of that? He made what eventually became, and even labeled and marketed as the peacemaker. Affectionately known as the gun that won the West, Samuel Colt and his peacemaker revolver. The peacemaker. a pistol, a revolver, a handgun may have won the wars, but it never brought ultimate peace, did it? Our text today speaks of peacemakers, a different kind of peacemaking. So let's look at our text, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The world desires peace, longs for peace. World peace, personal peace, the world desires peace. Scripture speaks a lot of peace. In fact, I did a little word search in my Bible. 332 times is the word peace in my Bible. That's 21 occurrences more than the word love in my Bible. Scripture speaks a lot of peace about peace. Scripture opens with peace in the Garden of Eden. Closes with eternal peace in heaven and on earth. Peace in the garden was interrupted by sin of mankind. And at the cross, Jesus again made peace available to mankind. Christ became the peace of all born again Christians, and peace can now reign in our hearts. Now reign in our hearts. Jesus will come again, the Prince of Peace, and establish his kingdom of peace. Usher in eternal peace. But the unfortunate fact is the world now is not at peace, is it? There's no peace of any kind at all. History shows us that one thing's been constant or consistent throughout history, and that is war, unrest, conflict, tensions, strife. Someone once said, peace is that glorious time in history when everybody stops in order to reload. In reality, we don't have peace at all, do we? There's no economic peace, no social peace, no political peace, no racial or ethnic peace, no even family peace or personal peace in this world. There's one thing the world needs now, it's peace. One main reason there's no peace in the world is because of sin. Sin. The root of all sin is selfishness. And in our world, we experience the oppression of Satan selfishly wanting to be God. In this world, we experience the disobedience of mankind who selfishly wants to be Lord and master of their domain. Sin, selfishness, the root cause of the absence of peace. So where does peace come from? Real peace, not ceasefires, not cold wars, not compromising treaties. Where does real, absolute peace come from? The barrel of a gun? The negotiating table? Diplomats? Absolutely, brother. Peace comes from God. God is the source of peace. True peace, absolute, real peace comes from God. God is a God of peace. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 33, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, we see that God is the God of peace. Real peace. God's the source of peace. God starts by addressing the source of mankind's problems. The root of the issue. The heart of the issue is what? The heart. It's one thing we've been saying over and over again with the Beatitudes as God addresses true righteousness, and the heart of the issue is our heart. God's peace addresses mankind's main chief problem of sin. Our hearts are sinful. We looked at that last week. The pure in heart. Our hearts are sick, and evil, and dirty. And God addresses that. God's peace has nothing to do with politics, or diplomacy, or compromises, or truces, or treaties. God's peace addresses the heart of the issue. It confronts the root of the problem. It changes people from the inside out. It brings true inner peace, personal peace, that then can translate to outer peace. God brings real peace and true peace through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there's no real peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, we see that Jesus is our peace. Jesus himself is our peace. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20, we see that Jesus brought us peace at the cross through his blood. So back to our text, verse 9, chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers. We're to be peacemakers. Not like Samuel Colt's peacemaker. A different kind of peacemakers. Yes, we as born-again Christians are to be peaceable. Romans 12:8 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. We're to be peaceable. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes it doesn't depend on us. But we're to strive in loving one another, to strive to live at peace with all men. But Jesus is talking much more than that in our text about peaceable. He's talking about being peacemakers, makers of peace. So what is Jesus talking about? Dr. Spyros Zodiatis, he's a Greek language expert and theologian, states it this way. A peacemaker is not simply someone who tries to stop the feuding between nations and people. But listen to this. It is a believer that has experienced the peace of God and who brings that peace to his fellow human beings. Did you get that? It is a believer that has experienced the peace of God and who brings that peace to his fellow human beings. Fact for us to get our minds around that fact that Jesus is talking more about, as John MacArthur puts it, the presence of righteousness instead of just the absence of conflict and strife. Instead of the absence of conflict and strife, Jesus here is talking more about the presence of righteousness. Peacemaking is actively bringing true peace, godly peace, to others. It's a characteristic of the truly righteous, as Jesus here defines true righteousness. It's the outflow of a pure heart, the absence of self. As we begin to address our heart, as we begin to empty ourselves of self, as our heart becomes pure, we have an ever-increasing desire, ultimate concern for all people to experience the true peace of God. Let's look a little bit at Jesus, a little more closely. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus is talking here. To his disciples. Matthew 10, 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus did not come to bring peace. Not the kind of peace that the world expected or the world wanted. Not the kind of peace that the Israelites desired not political peace, social peace. Jesus came to bring true peace, godly peace, spiritual peace, the peace that only comes through righteousness. Until unrighteousness is turned to righteousness, there will never be true peace. Do you get that? Until unrighteousness is turned to righteousness, there will never be, there cannot be, true godly peace. God expects us to be peacemakers. Peaceable, yes. Peacemakers, absolutely. As we love, as we demonstrate kindness and patience, we're to boldly, deliberately, actively make peace. Actively bring that ultimate peace of God to others. How do we do that? How do we do that? How are we active peacemakers? We make peace like farmers make corn. We make peace like farmers make corn. How do farmers make corn? They don't actually make the corn, do they? They don't actually make the crops, do they? They work the field. They plant the seed. They sow the seeds. They work diligently day in and day out. God causes the increase, doesn't he? God grows the corn. God makes the corn, doesn't he? We work wisely, like the farmer, diligently, strategically. We make peace like the farmer makes corn. That's our work. Just as the farmer works wisely and strategically and diligently, so we, as peacemakers, work like that. That's our number one work. That's our work. We're to work at making peace, sowing the peace of God. That's our work. And we do so wisely. Turn with me to James. Told you before, there's a lot of correlations between the book of James and the Beatitudes. We've been to James several times, haven't we? This time, turn with me to chapter 3 of the book of James. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. God speaks of wisdom. Not earthly wisdom, but heavenly wisdom. Maybe we should start with the beginning of the paragraph, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understand him? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, not a pure heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom, verse 15, is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. That's the world's thinking. That's the world's wisdom. Verse 17, we see God's wisdom, wisdom from heaven. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, period. But the wisdom from heaven is first pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. Blessed are the peacemakers. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Blessed are the gentle, the meek. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. Blessed are the merciful. wisdom from above. Okay? Let's keep reading. Let's look at verse 18. And the seed whose fruit is what? Righteousness is sown in peace by who? By those who do what? Make peace. How are we supposed to be peacemakers? When there will never be true peace until unrighteousness is turned to righteousness. There will never be true peace without Jesus Christ. And if we are concerned and compassionate and loving towards others, we will be concerned about their lack of peace. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Until righteousness is turned to unrighteousness is turned to righteousness, there cannot be true peace at all. Peacemaking is sowing righteousness. Peacemaking is sowing the seeds of righteousness. You get that? True peace. Godly peace. Pointing people to Jesus. That's peacemaking. We're to make peace like the farmer makes corn. Farmer sows the seeds. We make peace by sowing the seeds of righteousness. God makes the righteous. God's the source of the peace through Jesus. It's through Jesus that God brings the true inner peace. That's what God expects. That's how Jesus characterizes the truly righteous, peacemakers, sowers of righteousness. You see the process in the Beatitudes? We let God address our heart, the source of the problem. We let God produce in us a pure heart. Then we compassionately desire for others to be at peace, to experience the same peace, the peace that passes all understanding, true godly peace. That's our work. That's kingdom work. To be peacemakers. Sowing the seeds of righteousness. That's how we do it. Peaceable? Absolutely. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. But peacemakers, sowers, actively, deliberately, sowing the seeds of righteousness. The result, back to Matthew chapter 5, our text, verse 9. What's the result? Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed. Again, that term means inward joyful contentment. Beyond circumstantial happiness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who deliberately, actively sow the seeds of righteousness, who make peace. What else? For they shall be what? They shall be called the sons of God. Wow. These people, those born again Christians, those who are born again spiritually, those who have truly trusted in Jesus, those who have received righteousness from God by God's grace through their faith in Jesus Christ, those people who are characterized by righteousness, those people who are characterized by actively, deliberately sowing seeds of righteousness, those people belong to God. Those are the people who wear His name. Those are the people who were adopted by God Almighty. Those are the people who enjoy all the privileges and blessings and the inheritance that comes to those who are part of God's family. True righteousness. That's what it looks like. We are privileged children of the King. You realize that? We are privileged children of God Almighty, who decided to adopt us, who willfully, deliberately said, "Come, Chip, you nut, you thug, you bonehead, come on to my family." He made that possible. Incredible. Incredible privilege. We have the Spirit of God inside of us. Power of the living God. Power not to sin. We have an inheritance of eternity in paradise awaiting us. We are sealed to the day of redemption. We escape the wrath to come. And we enjoy paradise. It's crazy. It's amazing. We're privileged to be called sons and daughters of God. Our work is kingdom work. It's the family business. We enjoy all the benefits of being part of the family of God now and especially in the future. You ever wonder why God just didn't beam us up once we repented and put our faith in Christ? Why didn't he just zap us right then and take us on up to heaven? He left us here, right? For now, for a time, for a reason, for a work. We're part of the family, and the family business is making peace. Beyond just being peaceable. It is sowing the seeds of righteousness out of concern for those who are without peace. If they never get that peace that only comes through Jesus Christ, they never gain that inner peace, there will be no peace for them forever. In fact, there will be eternal wrath, pain, and anguish, gnashing of teeth, as Jesus says. Our work is kingdom work. It's the family business. Sowers of the seed of righteousness. Peacemakers. So how are we doing? How are you doing in the family business? Distracted from kingdom work? Man, it is easy to get distracted these days, isn't it? We have all kind of pressures. I'm convinced that no generation has ever faced the amount of distractions on our time, our talents and our treasures than this generation. We live in a world that is amazingly full of stuff and information, and our days and our calendars fill up, and our money goes, our time goes, and we're distracted from kingdom work. It's the way the oppressor of this world wants it. Forget about your kingdom work. I got bills to pay. I got things to do. I got kids to raise. I can be busy doing church work. Other good things. Compassionate, loving things. But have I neglected our kingdom work? The sowing of the seeds of righteousness. Are we engaged in peacemaking? Not people pleasing. Peacemaking. Are we sowing the seeds of righteousness? We need to be, don't we? Jesus characterized the truly righteous as those who are diligently busy, deliberately making peace. As God changes our hearts, as God purifies our hearts, our desire to be peacemakers will grow. And we will capitalize on opportunities that God brings to us to sow those seeds of righteousness. And then we will might even get to the point where we look for opportunities, try to create opportunities to sow the seeds of righteousness. Let us be busy with kingdom work. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you again for your word. Father, as we study the Beatitudes, as we study the Sermon on the Mount, the very words of Jesus, man, it is humbling and convicting. It's hard. We don't measure up. We're not living righteously as we should. We all fail. We all come up short. Father, encourage us to hand over our entire heart to you, every nook and cranny, everything. Totally surrender ourselves to you so that you can have your way with us. And Father, so that you can generate a desire in us for a lost and dying world. Yes, Father, let us live peaceable. Father, let us rise to peacemakers, sowers of the seed of righteousness. Father, encourage us this week to be mindful of kingdom work, your work, the work that you want to use us to accomplish. Let us focus on you. Let us not be distracted. Time is of the essence. Let us live urgently. We love you. We thank you. We are yours. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen.